Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to get into your word this morning, Heavenly Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be here so that the word spoken this morning will be yours and not ours. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service. Give us the guidance, the strength, and all, Father, that we need. And we ask this all in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Dennis. We're going to have Brother Dennis come and let us know what God's laid on his heart.
I'm going to get out in front of you today.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we're going to do something a little different than what we normally do. Instead of reading a chapter and discussing that particular chapter, we're going to take a subject and discuss a subject. And that subject being faith, and then we're going to take that and we're going to break it down to the end times. So it's really, the subject's really going to be end times faith. And you're probably already thinking, you know, bad things are going to happen and, you know, you've got to have that kind of faith. But we are going to touch on that a little bit. But we're going to talk on the positive things that faith brings out in the end times. But before we get into that, we really got to know what faith is. So we're going to start in Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 tells us exactly verbatim what faith is. And for those of y'all that don't know, you can pretty much take what this says in the very first verse. And it's almost quite literally what the Webster's Dictionary says too, by the way. So verse 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, which are not made of things which do appear. So in essence, faith is the unequivocal knowing of something that you can't see, hear, or taste, basically. Like, you know God exists. I believe that he exists, but you know he exists. You can literally, everywhere you see the word faith, you can transpose that with the word know, because that's what you're doing. You know without a doubt. There's no doubt in your mind when you have faith. All right, now if we'll turn to Romans 10, Romans 10 will actually tell us how we get faith. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that pretty much says it all. So with those two items right there, you have to understand and know that this book, this Bible, this Holy Bible, is the word of God, is presented to man through the Spirit and written down. So it is literal words of God. And you'll hear all the time that, you know, no, it was written by man. Yeah, it was physically penned by man, but it was dictated to them by the Spirit, okay? It is very true that each man that wrote this had his own writing style and his own a little bit of personality put in there, which is a good thing. But from front cover to rear cover, there's absolutely no place in the entire Bible that contradicts itself. No place. Now you'll have people say, "Oh yeah, it does. I can show you this, and I can show you this, and I can show you this." No, you can't. What they're doing whenever they think they're showing you a discrepancy or a contradiction is they'll pull one verse out of a whole chapter and one verse out of another whole chapter, and yeah, those two do contradict, but when you take the essence of what's being said, it does not. And that's one of the biggest reasons why in this particular church we read the entire chapter, so you understand the fullness of what we're talking about. So now we're going to get into the end times part of it. Now that you know what faith is, it's knowing something that you can't see, can't hear, and can't feel and touch. So you have to know that God exists. You have to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he was God in flesh. He lived 33 years. Got crucified for your sins, rose on the third day. And if you know those things, not believe them, know them, then that's faith. So we're going to start, and you have to also know that this book, every word in this book is absolutely 100% true. So when it says something, you know that it either happened in the past, which most of this is, or it's going to happen in the very near future. Now, there's one little section in here in the very end of Revelation that talks about what happens after the thousand-year reign. That's obviously at least 1,000 years away, but we still know it's going to happen. And we know it's going to happen because that's actually written in the Bible more than one time as well. And that's something else that you can always be assured of. There's always at least two witnesses inside this book, and some of them are as much as 1,000 years apart in many cases. And like I said, we're going to talk about the faith that you're going to have in the end times, some of the faith that people automatically assume that we're talking about is whenever all the bad things starting to happen, you know. You got people starving to death and people losing their jobs and losing their houses and you know, people of faith being turned into prisons or being killed, which that's already happening, by the way. There's been more people martyred in the past. Well, the statistics that I read was from 2018. There was more people killed by martyrdom in 2018, just in that 1 year, than there had been for almost the entire 2,000-year period that the church has been in existence. Now, a good portion of those was in China. A good portion of those was in the Middle East. But nonetheless, they were still being slaughtered out there. Okay? And, you know, China's in the news a lot lately, but China actually right now has one of the greatest turnovers or conversion rates in the entire world, believe it or not. And so, and they're obviously being martyred over there because they're a big-time communist country. They don't like any kind of religion. All right, so we're going to go to Joel 2 now. And it shall come to pass afterward, and whenever they say afterward, and we're going to go to another place that will explain this better, but whenever it says afterward in the Old Testament, they're talking about the end times. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also the servants and the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars and smoke. And then it goes into the sun being turned to darkness and the moon turning to blood before that great, terrible day of the Lord. And we know by reading both Daniel and Revelations that the rapture is going to happen right there where the sun and moon are turned to darkness, which would be the sixth seal. So it's telling us right here in Joel that God is going to pour out his spirit upon all people. Now, the all people that he's talking about would be the Christians and the Jews and the believers. And yes, he is going to pour out his spirit on the Jews as well. We're going to get into that in a minute here. But it's, this one here specifically says all flesh. So God's spirit's going to be out here. And the reason this is going to happen, if you think about it, when the devil gets kicked out or Satan gets kicked out of heaven, he's going to bring all his little demon buddies with him, and it's going to be terrible around the world, absolutely terrible. All the bad things that you can imagine is going to be happening. And throughout the history of the church, whenever there's been a lot of martyrdom or a lot of bloodshed, the church grew every single solitary time. You can look throughout history. Whenever there was a lot of chaos going on, that's when the church was doing its best. It was growing its best. And God knows that this is the end, and this is his last, I shouldn't say the last opportunity because he can do what he wants, but this is the last hoorah to bring in all the flesh that he can bring in to do it. And the devil is doing exactly the same thing. It's kind of like a spiritual warfare. The devil, or Satan, while he's, the Bible tells us, is a very, very smart individual, he really is not all that smart because he hadn't learned over the course of the last 6,000 years that God uses his own devices against him. And because he's down here creating chaos, trying to pull as many people as he can to hell with him, just because he's doing, just by the sheer nature of him doing that, he's actually turning more people to God. And that's basically what this is saying. You'll start to see, and we've talked about it in church here several times, about, you know, people being prophesying and old men having dreams and seeing visions and the Holy Spirit being poured out. The one thing that I want to talk about a little bit more than what you've been just prophesying and seeing visions and things of that nature it says the Spirit will be poured out. That means that all the spiritual gifts that we have been given by God are going to come to a crescendo all at one time. You're going to see people very well may see men of God or people of faith, I should say, having true, honest faith, healing people. You could possibly even see people bringing somebody back to life that had died because Christ said you can do that. And we're going to get into that too in just a minute. But all these things are going to come to a crescendo right here at the very end. And it's all based off of faith. People of true faith are going to be able to do these things. And we're going to go to, we'll go to Zechariah real quick, because a lot of people are saying, well, that's just for the Jews. There's another statement in Zechariah that actually is specifically for the Jews. See, that'll be Zechariah 12:10. And it's almost the same, but it's a little bit different. I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, and as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So what he's doing for the Jews at that point is that he's pouring out his spirit as well, but it's not the spirit of the spiritual gifts. I'm not saying they won't get them, but he's giving them the spirit of grace. He's giving them an opportunity to repent of what they're doing right there at the very end. And a lot of them will. There's a lot more that won't, because the good book here tells us that more than two-thirds of all the Jews are going to die during the end times. So only the remnant, which would be one-third of them, is going to even have an opportunity to be saved. But that's moving on from there. Let's go to Matthew 10, and we're going to start with verse 7. And this is the words of Christ. Now, what he's talking about, who he's talking to, is when he sent out his disciples to go out, when he sent out the 70. But whenever you read this, and then you pay attention to what it physically says, he's not only talking to his disciples, he's talking to you and I as well, because a lot of the things that he says in here absolutely has not happened yet. So based off of what you see and what you read and understand, you'll see that all this stuff is coming to pass throughout the course of time. All right, so let's start here with verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip in your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall go, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come unto it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive it, you not hear your words. When you depart out of the house or your city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Behold, now this is one of the things that's specifically, I think, talking about the end times here. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as servants, and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he shall endure to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. If we go back to the very first part of it, it's literally telling you that you'll heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. All these things are the gifts of the Spirit. And it also, you know, in other places it talks about, you know, raising of the dead. You know, Peter and Paul raised the dead. And there's actually, you know, a lot of people think that only Christ was the only one that raised the dead. That's not true. There's actually over 10 cases of people raising the dead throughout the entire Bible. So basically what I'm saying, we got miraculous times coming towards us. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I think it's not going to exactly happen how a lot of people envision it going to happen. We know exactly what we know what is going to happen. We just don't know how the turn of events is going to play into our normal lives and how it's going to happen. But we know it's going to be terribly bad. A lot of people are going to die. A lot of people are going to starve. There's going to be a lot of pestilence. There's going to be a lot of other stuff going on. But throughout it all, you have to have faith. You have to have faith in God to live through all that stuff. And if you have true, honest to God faith, you know, Christ says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And those are the kinds of things that we're talking about here. And Peter in Acts 2 literally says pretty much the exact same thing during his sermon, because he actually took part of his sermon from this part from Joel, and I'm going to read that from Acts 2 now. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on the handmaids I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's from Paul's sermon. Again, it's telling us that it's not just bad things that's going to happen. It's a lot of good things. And what better time than whenever the devil's out here doing all of his bad things out there, you know, because it talks about the devil or the Antichrist, you know, doing all his bad things, which, you know, is whenever Moses was in front of Pharaoh and you know, the magicians that Pharaoh had, they throw down his cane and it turned into a snake, and Moses had Aaron throw his stick down there and it turned into a bigger snake and ate the one that the magicians had. This kind of the same kind of scenario that we're going to see whenever the end times comes. You know, you're going to have the Antichrist going on doing his little thing, showing great signs and wonders. But then there's going to be men of God, men of faith, that's going to be able to do the exact same thing. And turn the tide, really. You know, you hear throughout the ages, actually, that there's going to be a great revival. I honestly believe this right here is going to be the great revival. You're going to have martyrdom, a lot of martyrdom, a lot of people dying, a lot of bloodshed. And like I said earlier, that bloodshed has always increased the church, always increased the church. And it's always made it bigger, made it stronger. And the Bible also tells us that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And that's ultimately what I think that's talking about as well, at least part of what they're talking about. There's a lot of people out there right now. And we also know that the Church of the Laodicea is during that time frame, you know, where everybody is lukewarm. They're riding the fence, so to speak. You know, they may believe that there's a God, and they may believe that Jesus Christ, you know, lived and may have possibly even died for their sins, but they don't know it. They don't have that honest to God faith. And a lot of those same people have walked in the church door every time it was open, but they just don't have that faith. They don't have that understanding. And part of it is because the vast majority of people, whenever they walk into a church, they don't have their Bible with them. A lot of them has never even read the Bible. All that they get, all their learning from what somebody standing behind a pulpit is telling them. And from what I've seen, there's a lot of false preachers, pastors, prophets, whatever you want to call them out there, that are not teaching the Word of God. What they're doing is they'll take one verse out of there and make it say whatever they want to say. You know, I'll give you just one example that everybody, I guarantee everybody's heard at least one time in their life. You know, it talks about the seed, but whenever they're talking about the seed, when Christ was talking about the seed, he's talking about passing out the seed. You know, some of it hitting the rocky ground, some of it in fertile soil, some of it in thorns and all that stuff. And he's talking about the spiritual seed. But you hear these false teachers and prophets and whatever else, I call them sorrows, is what they really are, out there talking about, well, that's the seed of money. You know, you give me $10,000, your last $10,000, I'm going to make you a millionaire. Well, one of the very first things that you need to understand is wealth is not one of the things that God is promising you. In fact, wealth is one of those things that God actually don't like too much. It says a wealthy man, it's harder for a wealthy man to make it into heaven than a camel through an eye of a needle. Wealth is not one of those things that God promises anybody. Now, monetary wealth, I should say. Now, he does kind of promise us the wealth of understanding and the wealth of love and compassion and things of that nature, but not monetary means. Could care less about money. Money don't do him a bit of good. He owns it all anyway. So, and honestly, money don't do you no good either. I mean, other than paying your bills and putting a little bit of food in your belly, but all money is good for, because anything other than putting clothes on your back and food in your belly is just going to get you into trouble. And I know that from experience, and I'm sure many other of you have too, because the more money you have, the more you got to have, and the more you want. You go out there and start spending it on things you have no business doing, instead of maybe giving a little bit to a homeless person or, you know, feeding somebody that may need some help. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, if you study the Bible and understand the Bible, you'll notice a very, very general theme here. Things that took place in the beginning were foreshadows of things that's going to happen in the end. And you see a lot of, pretty much all of it really, in different aspects, but pretty much all of the things that happened in Exodus that's going to happen to us during the end times. And like I was just giving you one example there, it talks about the magician and Aaron's rod. Well, the magician thought he could do all those things, and while they were showing the seven plagues or the ten plagues, the magicians kept saying, "Well, we can do that," but everything that they did, God did better for Moses and Aaron. Everything. And then when it was all said and done, you had the firstborn of every creature in Egypt, the firstborn of it died, except for the people that had the blood. And ultimately, that's exactly what's going to happen during the end times. You have to have that blood of Christ whenever it's all said and done to live, or else you're going to perish just like happened during the Exodus. Everything in this book is absolutely 100% true. Yes, there are a couple of allegories throughout the book, but for the most part, there's very few. There's only, and actually, anytime there is an allegory in there, it tells you that it's an allegory. Just like whenever Christ is talking, most of those things, he says a parable, which is an allegory. He's telling you up front that this is a parable. So you understand it's a story that tells you so you can understand it. And the reason parables are really, really good and the way Christ did that is because the parables actually cross over time. The people that was there understood it, and the people now understand it. There's a lot of things throughout the course of time that loses its meaning. But for some reason, well, we all know the reason, but for some reason, the parables that Christ taught, every one of them, if you read them and understand them and listen to them carefully, you'll see that they all cross over to our modern day times, every single one of them. You know, and something else that a lot of people, they may know it, and pastors may teach it, but they don't actually explain it very well. All those parables, he's talking to believers, by the way. He's not talking to just anybody. All these parables are talking to believers. I'll give you a good example, you know. I've heard for many years that the parable of the ten virgins, a lot of people want to explain it, and then you have the good people and the bad people, or the saved and the non-saved. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what we're talking about right here. We're talking about faith. What do you think that oil in the lamp is? That's faith. That's your uncontrollable faith. The ten wise virgins kept their faith all the way to the end, because it says if you endure to the end, then you're going to be saved. If you don't endure to the end, then you're the unwise virgin. He's talking to believers. He's telling you that you have to have your faith. You have to have your oil, which is your faith, all the way to the end. Because at midnight, whenever the bridegroom came in, you know, five of them still had their faith. They were holding on strong. Five of them let their faith die down. They were all asleep at that time, but five had their faith. Five didn't. Just remember that. All these parables are literally talking about believers. They're all talking to you and I. And a lot of people, I've heard, I can't count how many times, that all that stuff just for the Jews. No, it's not. It's for us. And something else that a lot of people, a lot of pastors that I've listened to and heard and actually went to church and listened to, they tell you that, you know, the Olivet Discourse which we were just reading out of, is only to the Jews. No, it's not. That's to believers. That's telling us what's going to happen to us. It's explaining everything. And the reason we know that it's talking to us, first, it's literally describing us. And second, if you read about the grafting in of the olive tree, you know, every time, except for a few specific spots, we are grafted into the tree. We are Israel now. A lot of people don't understand that. We are Israel now. Yeah, we're Gentiles, but we are Israel. We're the believers. The old shoots, you know, were cut out, and we were grafted into the tree. The tree is God's people, Jew and Gentile. And a lot of people don't understand that. Yeah, I'm on. Just remember, you're going to have, whenever it's all said and done, strong, unshakable faith, because you're going to have faith that God's going to take care of you during them hard times. And then you're also going to see a pouring out of the Spirit, which is going to help more people gain faith. The church is going to grow by leaps and bounds at that same time. It's something I want to mention just real quick. What's going on in the world right now? Okay. Do you trust man or do you trust God? And that's what it really boils down to. This good book right here tells us to trust God, not to put our faith in man. It says that in more than one place. Do not put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. You got people all over the place that are scared to death of the flu. Now, let's just call it what it is. This ain't nothing but the flu. It's a different variant, but it's still the flu. No way, shape, form around it. It's the flu. Yeah, there are people dying. People die of the flu every year and have for many, many years to come or in the past. The flu is the flu, okay? People die from the flu. But because they give it some off-the-wall name that nobody ever heard of, they think it's some kind of new invention out there, and they're scared to death of it. They have taken over the past last year, year and a half, people dying in car wrecks and saying they died from COVID. If you go back, and if you got an old bottle of Lysol in your house, you'll see that it says right on there, COVID, all over it. The common cold is COVID. The flu is COVID. Okay? It's just a new name. The flu, yes, but it's just a new name that they're trying to scare people with, using their scare tactics to get them to do what they want to do. It all boils down to control, which comes back to the fact that they're trying to bring in this beast government, the New World Order, as some people want to call it, this beast government, which the Bible tells us plainly is going to happen. And people are scared to death going out there getting a shot, okay? And then they're telling you that this shot is very safe. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not going to say that it is. The fact of the matter is, it's one thing that they're not telling you, is this is the first time this particular shot or vaccine has ever been used. It's an mRNA vaccine, which means that they say that it changes the RNA of the virus. I say if it can change the RNA of a virus, what's to say that it can't change your RNA as well? I don't know that it will. I don't know that it won't. And because I don't know, I refuse to take it. Could it help me? It very well may. Could it kill me? There have been multiple cases of people dying from this particular vaccine. So I'm not saying that you should take it. I'm not saying you shouldn't take it. I'm saying you should have your faith in God, because it tells you that you can have 1,000 die on your left side and 10,000 on your right, but if you have the faith of God, the plague will not enter into your dwelling. That's what the Bible tells me. I have that unshakable faith on that. I am not scared of the flu. You're not going to get me to take something that very well could kill me. And not only that, one thing that a lot of people don't understand, whenever your RNA inside your body controls your DNA in your body, and your DNA is what specifies you being a man or a human being. Once your DNA is changed, you're no longer a human being, you're a chimera. Well, guess what? One of the things that this good book tells us is only humans can go to heaven. And quite possibly, and I've thought for a long time because I've always wondered about the mark of the beast, and I'm not saying this shot is the mark of the beast by no shape, form, or fashion. I'm not. But one thing that's always bothered me about the mark is why, if you took it, you could not go to heaven. Why just that one thing kept you out of heaven? And the only thing that I could come up with was that you're no longer human. It somehow changed your DNA. You turned into a chimera. And I say that because, you know, the mark of the beast talks about, you know, worshiping Satan. But we know that a Satan worshiper can be converted to a Christian. All he has to do is repent, change his ways, ask God to forgive him. And he's just to do that. So it can't be the worship part of it. It's got to be the literal, something literally to do with the mark changing you, at least in my mind. I mean, I've been studying this for a while, and that's the best that I can come up with. And whenever they start bringing out something like this vaccine that they're pushing on the entire world is being pushed into it. And any time that the governments of the entire world is pushing one thing, there's got to be something wrong with it. There absolutely has to be something not good about it. So with that, just because of that reason in itself, it's enough reason to question whether you want to take it or not. And if you're one of the people that's out there taking it, already had it, I'm not saying you're going to hell by no shape, form, or fashion. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to question what's going on, because the one that they just gave you may not have done anything, but all the multiple boosters that they're pushing may. So just food for thought. I don't, like I say, I'm not telling you if you took the shot that you did wrong. I'm certainly not telling you that if you didn't take the shot, you're killing anybody, because you're not. Don't let them buffalo you like that, okay? Trust in the Word of God. Trust in God. Trust in your Lord Jesus Christ, and He's faithful to take care of you, okay? That's the key to it. You got to have faith. And I'm sorry to get off on that little tangent, but that's one of the things that's going on right now that people really need to have faith for. If they had faith, then the churches never would have shut down. If they had faith, the churches actually would have been full because of what's going on. You know, throw it in their face. Show them that, no, God's more important than you are. I can assure you that when all this mess started, before this mess started, I never went to church. I never did. I still read the Bible, but I never went to church. When all this stuff started, I am that person. You tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, provided it's a good thing. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and you tell me to jump off a bridge. I'm not going to do that. But you know what I'm saying? If you tell me something that I think is right, that I can't do it anymore, I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove you wrong. Just like one of the things that's coming up, and the Bible, good book tells us one of the things that's coming up is you're not going to be able to read this book. At that point, whenever they tell me I can't read the Bible, you'll see me with a Bible in my hand 24/7, because I'm going to be the person that shows them, yeah, I can, and yeah, I will. They're already out there saying you can't talk about God. That's all I do. Everybody that I talk to, I talk about God to. And that's what everybody should be doing right now, spreading the word of God, showing them that you have faith, because it's not going to be too much longer before they truly are going to start persecuting us here in this country. Like I say, it's already going on in parts of Asia and the Middle East, but it's slowly coming here. They're doing it behind the scenes more than they are straight out front in your face. But it is happening, you know. They shut the churches down. Told people they couldn't go to church. Then they said that you could only have so many in church. Then they said you couldn't sing. And, you know, it's just more and more and more and more things that are coming at us on a daily basis. But as long as you read this, understand this, study this, pray over this, use discernment over everything, every aspect of your life, which the Bible tells you to do anyway, you'll be okay. And for your own sake, pick this book up on a daily basis. If you don't read but just one chapter a day, do that. Because the more you read, the more you understand, the more you understand, the more faith you'll have. And the closer we get to the end, the more faith you're absolutely going to need to survive. And the more faith that you have, the more people you can bring to God. Because that's what we're trying to do, particularly during these end times, is to you know, spit in the devil's face and show him that, yeah, we're stronger than you are. We're going to bring more people to God than you're going to take to hell with you. And it's going to take, you know, all the bad things, unfortunately, to turn some people around. It's going to take death. It's going to take persecution. It's going to take, you know, seeing people being put in jail and people dying for their faith and you know, and laughing at the devil or the Antichrist or the people that's doing these things, laughing at them, knowing that I'm going to heaven because you're going to kill me. I'm going to heaven. You're just saving me from all the heartache that I'm going to have to live through for the next, you know, little while. And that's the kind of attitude that you really need to have. You know, if they kill you, the pain, if you even feel pain, the pain's only going to last for a minute or so. But hell's an eternity. You know, pretty easy choice in my opinion. But a lot of people, even then, is going to decide to do the opposite. But, again, hold tight to the faith. Improve your faith. Strengthen your faith. Make your faith endure. And there was, well, I'm not going to get into it today. It's already getting late. In chapter 9 of Daniel, it talks about all this as well. Enduring your faith, strengthening your faith towards the very end of time. And that's, like I say, hold tight, study, read. Don't just listen to somebody just standing behind a pulpit, whether it be on TV or an actual church. Read the Bible along with them. When you go to church, read your Bible. If you're watching somebody on the internet or the TV or whatever the case may be, read the Bible along with them. Provided they even read the Bible. Most of the time, you don't even see them having a Bible. They just sit up there and give some kind of, you know, inspirational speech about, you know, making money. But, again, the Holy Bible is the Word of God. Every word in it is true. Every word of it you can trust to your grave. And with that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Tony. And everybody have a blessed day. And again, endure, learn, study, trust in Jesus. See y'all.
Thank you, Brother Dennis. All right. We're going to get ready now and close out here. And remember to get everything ready, because this evening during our service, we're going to be having communion again. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as your word has been closed, Father, And as Brother Dennis shared what you've laid on his heart, now, Father, walk with each and every one of us throughout the remainder of this day. Be with our country, Father, because our country has turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. And Father, help us to remove from office those that are against your church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, and against your people, and to replace them with ones, Father, that will stand with the church, with Jesus, and with your people, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for them to have peace, because we know, Father, that right now, during this time, they're having very little peace. Rockets going off in that land daily, Father, causing death and destruction. But Father, even more than that, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, this government established on your word and on Jesus turned its back, took the Lord out of every place he was in. Don't want his name even mentioned. Don't want us using his name in prayer. Satan's really been at work. But Father, we know that Satan cannot stand against the name of Jesus and against those, Father, that are walking with you. And we're asking now our people that are in our government to work with us and to put this government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can return to being a land for Jesus, Father, as we once were. And now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will touch that one and bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, for Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, and Father, the young man ordained into the ministry. We pray that we'll, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know the needs there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, make all these churches lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But even more than that, make them places of refuge to where the lost can go. It's walking in darkness and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young pastor friends in Pakistan, Varun Islam, Barak Mishai, and Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health. and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, for the Taylor family. Father, for each and every family that will hear and has heard this message this morning, we ask the Holy Spirit to work within those families, to help to turn those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. And we're asking this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mumbillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, they all stand in need of the healing hand of Jesus to touch them. Touch them in a mighty and great way, Father. Touch them so they know that it is you and not man. And Father, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, remember everyone, at 6 p.m. this evening, God willing, we can all be together again and back into His Word. So until then, have a great day. Walk with Him, and He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.